communication.
Hello. The date is now Tuesday, 27th of August. I know it's been a long time since I've made a tape, and I decided tonight had to be the night since tomorrow's the first day of school. Well, since I've taped you last, one of the biggest things we've done is we took a week-long trip up to Hokkaido. Now, Hokkaido is the island north of Honshu, which is the island we're on. Now, to the tip of Honshu, it's about 600 miles from Tokyo. And then it's about 20 miles at the nearest point across between the two islands. And then the island of Hokkaido is probably about the size of the state of Ohio. Then we decided that we were going to make this trip. And, you know, we miss so much in Japan here because we don't speak the language. We can't read signs, you know, to tell us where things are and things like this. You know, we just miss a lot. So we decided that we'd ask one of our Japanese friends, you know, to accompany us as a sort of a guide. And there's this one girl who speaks English quite well, and mother had been giving instruction in English conversation for a while before we moved. Well, we went down and talked to her father and to her one night, and they both consented, and she said she would really like to come along. You know, it would be a great service to us, and also she would be exposed to only English on the whole trip from us anyway, so it would be a great boost to her English conversation course, which she was taking in school and everything. She's, you know, taking English out of, you know, in high school you have to take English. That's a mandatory language. It's the only one Japanese can have in high school. So, you know, this would be a benefit to her and to us. And she said, sure, she'd come along. So, we went down and picked her up one Friday night about 8 o'clock, and she came back and spent the night at the house here with us. And we got up earlier the next morning. We left the house about 6 o'clock and headed up towards Hokkaido. Now, traveling in Japan, the speed limits are much slower than the States. But even if you exceed the speed limit, there's a limit to how far you can go in a day because of road condition and everything else. And as it turned out on this trip, we averaged about 300 kilometers a day, which is the equivalent of 180 miles, excuse me. So the first night, we'd gotten out of Tokyo. Now, one thing I'd forgotten to mention here, you know, but we'd bought this car about a month before summer vacation, you know, planning on taking a nice trip this summer, and we got this car especially because it had air conditioning. So, for about 2 weeks previous to taking off on this trip, the air conditioning hadn't been working quite right, so we'd had it in for off and on for 2 weeks, trying to get them to repair it. And they said, oh, sure, it works, it's fixed, you know. So we brought it home, and it was working pretty good. And Thursday night, it quit working. So we had it in the garage all day Friday. And they said, well, we don't know what it is. We think it might be this valve, but we don't have any of these valves. You will have to order one from Tokyo, so it'll be a few days before we can fix it. You know, that's real fine. We're going on vacation the next day, and they can't do anything for our air conditioner, which they'd supposedly been working on for 2 weeks, you know. And so we left with no air conditioning. Now, going out of Tokyo, it was about 95 degrees. And the first day was really bad, just hot and sticky. Got caught in a lot of real heavy traffic. But we got out of Tokyo, headed up north farther, and it started to cool off. Now the first night we spent at a little Japanese style hotel. These hotels, unless you get a Western style room, which costs quite a bit more than a Japanese style room, and when you get out of Tokyo into the smaller towns, sometimes it's impossible to get a Western style room, even if you wanted one. And we decided we'd stick with the Japanese style room. You know, it's not, you know, you're just gonna sleep in your room anyway. But in a Japanese room, the floor is tatami mats. It's you're not allowed to walk on it with your shoes and so forth and so forth. You sleep on the floor on futons. There's usually no bath, no toilet, no restroom, anything of this sort. Sometimes there's a sink. There's usually a little small table that sits about 8 inches off the ground, and a couple chairs which have a back and armrest on it, and then it sits right onto the floor. I'm sitting in one of these making the tape right now because I'm in the tatami room where we have our tape recorders hooked up. So that, you know, our first night we stayed at this one hotel, and the best thing about this hotel as far as Bobby was concerned was their bath. Now, they don't have a bath in the room, so you have to go to the public bath. Well, it's not actually a public bath, but you know, anybody in the hotel can use it. And we go down, and it was a fairly good size bath. I'd say it was about 7 feet wide and maybe 10 feet long. And you soap and wash off before you get in the bath, so you're all clean before you get in, and then you just get in there and sort of soak. It looks like we might be ending the end of this tape, so I'm gonna have to stop and pull off the rubber stopper and check. Just a minute. Well, I guess we've got a little more on this side. Now, this first night, we didn't see too much that day. We stopped off at a couple shrines and stuff. We were supposed to see a golden pavilion, sort of. You know, it was supposed to be a golden place called the Golden Temple. But we got there about 6 o'clock, and the building closed at 5, so we couldn't see it, and all the gold was on the inside, so we didn't get to see that. That's the way it is in Japan. Practically everything closes down here real early. Well, now it does look like we're ending nearing the end of this tape, so we'll see you on the other side.
Not in your knee.
Well, to continue with my trip, we left this next hotel. It's about 7 in the morning, I'd say. I guess it was later than that. We left about 8 o'clock after eating cereal, because Japanese traditional breakfast is usually some fish, most of the time raw, sometimes cooked, but always cold. Rice, tea, sometimes a hard-boiled egg. None of us school for that too well, so Bobby and I and this girl we'd taken along, we all had cereal. You know, we brought in these small packages of cereal along, where you just open them up and you pour the milk right in. I don't like cereal because I used to eat cereal a lot, but over here it's so stale that I just don't even like to eat it. But that was part of the trip. So we continued on, and the next day we stopped at this town. We got in quite late, and we had, you know, this This girl's father that we brought along with us, he had many friends up in that area because he'd gone to school up in Hokkaido, and he knew a lot of people, and he'd called friends and written letters to friends and asked them to make reservations for us, you know. And so we get to this friend's hotel. Now, they had told us that they didn't have any room, or no, they'd said that their hotel really wasn't suitable for us, and that they had made reservations in another town. Well, we got in quite late, and we said, you know, well, gee, are you sure you don't have any rooms here? Now, this looks like a nice hotel. Can we stay? And they said, well, we've got room, and they did let us stay. And it was quite a nice hotel. I mean, it was Japanese style. It was 90 years old, as a matter of fact, but it was in fairly good condition. The only thing were bugs. There were a lot of bugs. And so we left from there. We'd gone out that night and found a place to eat. They'd recommended a place where we could get some pork cutlet. Now, that is just about all I eat on in Japanese restaurants, if I can help it, because that's just about all that I can eat. They do have steak, but it's extremely expensive. They do have what they call a hamburger steak, but the hamburger is made like meatloaf, and I don't like American meatloaf to begin with, and this is three times worse, so I don't eat that. They have a lot of Japanese dishes, which you can buy anywhere, but I don't like most of those. So I stick with their pork cutlet, which is usually fairly good. So that's what I had that night. And we left the next morning, and we were going to stop off at an Air Force base, Misawa Air Force Base, which is just south of the northern tip of Honshu. So we stopped off there with the idea that we could get a good American dinner there, we could get something to eat, we could get cleaned up, we could rest a while, we could use a laundromat there and get clothes washed and stuff. And we found out that, you know, we stopped in at the officers club there, and we were talking to this guy, and we met him at the door and introduced ourselves, and he was the secretary of the club there. And we told him, you know, that we were looking for some advice. You know, we were new to the area and we're just passing through and wondering if we could spend the night in that area and then catch a real early ferry in the morning. And he said, why don't you try the BOQ, you know? So we went over, and sure enough, we got a room. It was rank that got us the room, too, because they'd said, well, you know, a major just can't get in here. And we happened to have a civilian rating equal to a colonel. So we got to stay in this BOQ. Now, this place was just like a little apartment you'd find in the States. It was four bedrooms, a living room, a combination, you know, dining room, kitchen, and two baths. Now, I mean, it was just like walking into an American house because, you know, all the furnishings, you know, they had a refrigerator, a stove, a washer and dryer, everything was in here. The bathtub was an American-type bathtub, which was the first one I'd been in that was made in the States, although I'd been in one that is modeled after a U.S. tub while I was living in Tokyo. But that had been over a year ago. And all the fixtures were stateside made, you know. And like I said, it was four bedrooms, and in each bedroom there were twin beds. And there was a television and a desk and a fan and a toaster and a coffee pot, glasses, no plates. We had silverware, shoe polish, stuff like this. You know, it's not like anything, you know, that you would expect when you're traveling on a trip through Japan. It was really a nice change because it was so clean and it was as nice as you know, it was as nice as a house would be in the States, you know. And this cost us $3 a night for all of us. And it had been costing us $3 between $3 and $6 a piece. No, I take that back. It was running us about $6 a piece at these Japanese hotels where we were staying, which was nothing even close to comparable with his place in Misawa. So we all got to take a good bath that night and got cleaned up. Sort of looks like we're nearing the end of this side, so I'm gonna turn this into a four-track stereophonic tape as of monaural tape as of now, I guess. So see you on right channel going the other way. We'd, you know, got all cleaned up and got a good stomach full of food, and I knew that, you know, we'd have to be getting up about 3 o'clock in the morning because we were going to have to catch this real early ferry across between the two islands, and it was about, we were supposed to be at the landing at 5:30, and it was about a 2-hour ride, so we had to leave about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was kind of disappointed because I knew I'd have to go to bed, you know, fairly early. And up here at this base, they not only have an Armed Forces radio broadcast, but they broadcast television. And, I'm going to get to see, you know, an American television program for the first time in 2 years. And I got to see one. I watched the Jonathan Winter show. And then I went off to bed. So we got up about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was raining then, just a little. And we headed out towards the ferry landing. We got there on time, in fact a little bit early. And the ship came in. It was about on time, and we got on. And this ferry ride, there is a choice of 3 ferries. One is a 1-hour 40-minute ferry. One is a 4-hour ferry, and the other is a 13-hour ferry. Now we'd chosen the 4-hour ferry because it was the easiest to get to, and it was supposed to be, you know, nice, fairly nice road going up to there. So we got on the ferry, and the ocean was just as smooth as glass, and I was real leery about getting on this ship. I didn't want to get on. I didn't care if it was just a little ferry or not. You know, I don't like ships. But I stayed out in the open deck in the back and laid down on one of the benches out there and went to sleep while everybody was inside sleeping. It would have made me sick if I would have stayed inside. I knew it, so I didn't even try. Even though it was quite calm, and it's just a psychological barrier, I guess. I just get seasick easy. So we made it over to Hokkaido, to a city called Hakodate. And we got out there and drove up to this cable car, this ropeway. We went up to the top of this, you know, real high mountain that overlooks the city, you know, and get a bird's eye view of the city and the port, you know. And we spent a little time up there. They had some radio broadcast, or radio and television broadcasting stuff up there. And we took a few pictures and, just looked around, sort of relaxed, get out of the car and off the ferry for a while. Then, we headed back into town. And I can't remember really if we ate where we ate lunch that day. It's been about a week and a half now, or 2 weeks since we've been on vacation. Well, anyway, we drove on up to this lake. We had reservations at this hotel on a lake called Toya Lake, or Toyako, Ko meaning lake. And it was a real nice hotel there. The president of the hotel, or the owner of the hotel, whatever you want to call him, was a real close friend of this girl's dad. They had roomed together at university up in Sapporo. And he'd got us a room in his hotel, and it was a combination room. It had a Western-style bathroom. Had a Western, Western-style sort of living room type deal, what you'd call a living room. It had a couple chairs and a couch in it, and two Western-style beds. And it also had a screened-off Japanese room, tatami room, where they put down as many futons as you could fit. You can probably get about 8 futons in there easily. And so we spent the night there, and with getting in late and trying to get baths and stuff done before they turn off the hot water, because they usually turn off the hot water about 10 o'clock, so you have to have a bath by 10, or you just don't get one. By the time we got our baths over and got something to eat, we'd missed out on rowing boats here in this lake. That we'd seen that there were rowboats out there, we were going to go row boating, but by the time we got back, it was well after dark. And we went down there and asked them, and they said, no, we don't allow boats out at night, so we didn't get to row boats. And this was, it was a real nice scenic area around there, but it was a resort town, and, just gobs and gobs of shops, all had the same kind of junk, that's what it was. Tourist junk. And so I didn't enjoy walking around the town too much. So the next day we went headed up to this place called Nabori Betsu. Excuse me. This area is also a resort town, and it's known especially for what they call the Valley of Hell, which is it's a ravine, and it's got all kinds of hot springs and this kind of stuff back in there, and they pipe the water in from these hot springs to all the different hotels and stuff in town to use in their baths, So I walked up there. It was pouring down rain this day, and I got an umbrella from the hotel, and I walked up there fairly early and looked all around and headed back, and we got in the car and decided, well, we'd go up to this Ainu village, and then, look around there, and then hope that it had stopped raining by the time we get back to Nabori Betsu, because we were going to, had to go back that way anyway. We wanted to see this Ainu village. So we'd hope that it would be stop raining, when we got back, so we could look around there. So we proceeded on to the Ainu village. Again, it looks like we're nearing the end of this tape. I hope my judgment is a little better this time. So we'll see you on the other side.
I don't want it to.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Wait a minute.
Your heart is right here. No, right down here.
Well, we headed up to this Ainu village. Now, I don't know if you've heard about the Ainus or not. I hadn't until I came to Japan here. But they're a different race of people than the Japanese. are real fair-skinned, and just don't look at all like the Japanese. I think they're, you know, much prettier than Japanese. The Japanese race is, you know, sort of homely. I mean, you know, they're not real pretty, I don't think. And nobody knows quite where they came from. And they're slowly dying out. There used to be many, many Ainus up here in the Hokkaido area. But now they're slowly dying out, and they've sort of become a tourist attraction themselves. This Ainu village where we went, we found out after we came back that it is built by the Japanese government. And these Ainus come out of from their winter homes, come down here and live in these houses built by the Japanese government in the summertime, and put on dances and stuff for the tourists. You know, you have to pay to see this. It's just, you know, nickel or something to get, see this, you know. And the houses that are built are, you know, identical to what the Ainu live in. They're a thatched roof, you know, made from rice straw, which many of the Japanese houses are. Many of the farmhouses and stuff, once you get out of Tokyo, you see them all over. They're made out of rice straw, but the walls are also made out of rice straw. And it was pouring down rain this day, and there was not a drop of water on the inside of any of these houses, because, you know, they let you come right in. There's not a drop of water on the inside. It'd be pretty cold in the wintertime, though. Well, we walked around there. Parents were all getting in and talking with these people and taking pictures and doing all this stuff, and I was kind of bored with the place. And they had a museum, which my parents didn't even get to see, but I did. And they had a couple bears caged up there, because Hokkaido is the place in Japan where, the one and only place in Japan where they do have bears. And they had a couple bears here in this Ainu village that were caged up, and a deer. You know, I looked at those for a while. And so we headed back from the Ainu village back into this town of Nombori Betsu. We stopped back in. Parents hadn't seen this Valley of Hell yet. So we stopped in and looked around there, and decided we'd look for this place called Bear Mountain. They supposedly had, you know, a bunch of bears in open cages up there that you could look at. So we got on a road that we thought went to Bear Mountain, and we drove, and we never did find it on that road. We decided, well, we better turn around. This just doesn't look like it's going to be on this road. But on the way up there, we found this great big, huge hot spring, this great big pool that would be probably a big round area as if you took all the houses that are on, you know, the road that goes past your house there, all the houses in your track, it would be as big as the area that they cover, you know. It's huge. And you could climb up on this sheer cliff, probably 900 to 1,000 feet high along one side of it, and look down at it, you know. So we all braved it up there, and, you know, there's steam coming out from under you, and it's real soft. Earlier that day, had fallen through into a sort of mud, you know, hot mud, you know. I'd fallen into this while walking someplace where I wasn't supposed to have been walking. So, you know, you're kind of making, you know, real careful where you're putting your feet down. And this was real interesting. So we headed back down into town and found out that this Bear Mountain was just right out of the town. You had to take a ropeway type deal. So we got on that and rode up to the top. It was a long way up there. It was really long. We got up into the clouds, so you couldn't see the city from the top. And lots of times you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you because you were in the clouds. And it was sort of misting. It wasn't really raining. And we went up, and they had quite a few bears up there, but You had to pay even. You had to pay money to get to ride the cable car up here. And you had to pay money to get into the bear park. And then you had to pay even more money to get closer to the bears, which wasn't even worth it. And we looked around there, and they had another real commercialized Ainu village up there. You know, it was Japanese, and it's playing the part of Ainu, I think, because it didn't even look like Ainus. And so then we headed back towards, and we went down into the town, and we ate lunch at this sort of a park area. And then we headed back towards this lake where we'd stayed the night before. We'd made reservations again to stay there. And so we headed back, and we got back there fairly early. But by the time we ate and took bath and you know, got situated in our room again, we missed rowing boats again. So Bobby and I, we just went walking around the town, got off the main drag there, and got back and found the shops where people that lived in the town would buy things, you know, because I didn't want to buy tourist junk. I was looking for fireworks and stuff like this, you know. And so we walked around. We really didn't find much. Got back and went to sleep. There really wasn't much to do in that town, although in the daytime there would have been on the lake. Well, it looks like I'm nearing the end of this tape. So I haven't finished all I want to say. I've got another roll of tape sitting down here beside me. So I'll record another tape to you now. I just blabber away here until this tape runs off. So this will be marked reel one, and the other reel will be marked reel two. Okay. See you on the other reel.